Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's a Saturday night. It's the last Saturday night in June. Believe it or not, 6 months of this first year is gone, 2022. And we are here with a great friend of ours. His name is always Scott Johnson. The way this whole thing got started, many years ago, I did a radio show for an anti-MLM person whose name is still Roger Van Vlissingen. Roger was writing with a website called Seeking Alpha, seekingalpha.com, still one of the best websites that I know that talk about publicly traded companies. And he was an anti-MLM guy writing about anti-MLM companies that were also publicly traded, Herbalife specifically, and was also making some comments about the FTC relative to Vima, even though Vima wasn't publicly traded back at that time. And I called him up. We had a nice conversation. I asked him to be on our radio show, and he was one of those types of gentlemen who believe that there's no such thing as a good MLM, that even though in theory maybe an MLM could be done the right way, they're just in reality could never be done the right way. So we did a radio show. We brought a friend, E. Robert Smith, good guy. He wrote a book called Downline. I think you can find it on Amazon. And then a couple of days later, I got a phone call from Scott Johnson. And Scott said, you know, I listened to that radio show, but there's something that people are missing. And I said, now what's that, Scott? He said, the tools scam. And I thought I would know what he was talking about relative to the tool scam associated with Amway, although that was the first time I really heard it like that, because I had hired and fired myself three separate times with Amway. When I was in direct selling and direct sales management, I was looking for a way to get out, and MLM was one of those opportunities I thought might be a really good vehicle. And somebody approached me about Amway, and I started looking at it, and they wanted me to come to all the events, and there was books and tapes and functions, and a lot of money being spent on books and tapes and functions. And I was grabbing my pen and my calculator wondering, like, how does this really help me build the income that I need to get out of the situation that I'm trying to get out of during any reasonable time frame? And the answer is it wasn't. So I just said, you know, they're so skewed towards the books, tapes, and functions. The system is sacred, they would say, that I would just, you know, I just said, okay, I'm out of here. There's something screwy about this. Didn't give him much time. Somebody approached me again. I wound up joining again. Same conclusion, third time's a charm. That's when I found, you know, the key behind the curtain. I said, that's it, I'm done. So I thought Scott might be talking about the Amway tool scam. So I asked him, I said, Scott, do you have a website? He said, I do. It's called stoptheamwaytoolscam.wordpress.com. So that's when I knew that he was talking about the same thing I was thinking he was going to talk about. We started doing this radio show talking a little bit about that, and we talk a lot about MLM. Sometimes we spread in, believe it or not, everything with pyramids and Ponzi schemes and stuff that happens with the FTC and a few other things as well. We've talked about cults. Oddly enough, child sex trafficking sometimes gets in there, politics for sure, you know, lifestyle, all those types of things. Sometimes we do the radio show ourselves, and sometimes we have a guest. Well, tonight, Scott has a great guest, which means I'm going to sit on the sideline listening to her story, and Scott's going to tell you a little bit more about, you know, why some of the reasons are that we do the show. And if you're a first-time listener, if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Scott-Johnson, you'll be able to hear this as well as the previous radio shows. And Scott's also got a great website. He'll give it to you where you can have access to his great information as well. So Scott, thanks for being here on a Saturday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And for your guest, I'm going to say thanks to her for being here as well. And we're going to give you guys a great educational experience. So Scott, over to you.
Hey Peter, thanks for having this show again. We've been doing this almost 7 years now. It'll be 7 years, I think, end of August, beginning of September, on a weekly basis, and we've only missed a small handful. So I really appreciate what you do and your dedication to this show. For me, it's kind of like a weekly venting process. So it's very helpful for my mental health, but it's also really designed to educate people so they can see what's going on out there. And the best way to do that is recent firsthand experiences. And that's what our guest Lexi is bringing to the show tonight. And I wanted to just kind of back up a little bit because you mentioned a couple terms there for people to understand. One of them is direct sales versus MLM. And with direct sales, you're just representing the company and selling stuff to customers. That's quite different than MLM because in direct sales, there's no upline, there's no downline. You're just an individual and you're basically representing the company and trying to sell whatever the company is selling. So that's very different than MLM, where there's upline and downline. There's all kinds of pressures. There's all kinds of hidden agendas. There's, quite frankly, lying going on. And you mentioned one of them. That's the tool scam. And the reason it's a scam is because the upline doesn't talk about how much money they make from the tools. And if you go on my websites, you can see their statements about how much money they were making when they were at Amway. And Amway's not the only one with tool scams, but I believe it's the biggest and most profitable of all of them. I know Herbalife has somewhat of a tool scam and probably some other ones as well, but Amway's is the biggest. And so if you go to my my Facebook page, that's where you can find my three websites. You can find the link to this radio show. You can find my YouTube channel, and it's all right there on my Facebook page. The links are all right there. So if you go to facebook.com/ScottTexJohnson, you'll find everything I just mentioned. And so it's facebook.com, and then Scott, S-C-O-T-T, and Tex, T-E-X, and Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N, that's all one word. So again, facebook.com/ScottTexJohnson. And you'll see a Texas flag. There's others with, you know, obviously a common name out there. But if you look for the Texas flag, that's mine. So anyway, yeah, thanks for talking about the tool scam. And also, you know, what is the tool scam? Well, today it consists of some of the same things that we experienced. I was in Amway for a dozen years, so I know quite well what happened. It's a little dated, but that's why we have guests on the show to bring us up to date on what's going on. And quite frankly, it's the same as it always was. So, but it's good to confirm that, because some people would say, well, you haven't been in for a while and it's really changed. Well, guess what? It hasn't. And that's why we like to have guests like Lexi on to talk about that. So the current day tool scam consists of meetings of various sizes. There's, you know, little ones, medium size, big ones. There's books that they sell for a full cover price when they are buying them from a bookseller for probably a fourth to a third of the cover price. They make a lot of money on the meetings. They make a lot of money on the books. There's recordings. There's the phone apps. There's voicemail. There's website access. There's all kinds of ways that they make money from the tools. And they don't, like I said, they don't talk about it. They make it sound as if their success came from Amway, whereas in reality, most of it came from these tools that I just mentioned. So that's the tool scam, and not all MLMs have that. But I haven't found an MLM yet that has that's really behaving properly when it comes to retail sales. And when I talk about retail sales, I'm talking about selling stuff to outside customers who are not involved in the compensation plan. You know, customers, that's who we're talking about. So if you sell your downline something, that's not really a customer. That's called internal consumption, and that's quite different from selling to customers. And so I can't find an MLM that has a significant retail sales, and I'm looking for one. I just haven't been able to find one, particularly one that is willing to provide the documentation, because this whole industry is made up of a bunch of liars, and you just can't trust any claim that's made. But I haven't even heard anyone claim you know, even without documentation, they have lots of retail sales. So that's really common within the MLM industry. Like I said, I haven't found an exception. And that is actually the exact definition, the lack of retail sales, of an illegal pyramid. Some people will say, oh, no, we have products. We can't be an illegal pyramid. Amway even has a short video on YouTube. If you just go to YouTube and, you know, type out a search of Amway pyramid, you'll see about a 2 or 3 minute video. And they never say that we're not a pyramid because we have products. What they do is they illustrate an example of a pyramid that does not have products. And therefore, if you're not educated in this industry, you would very reasonably come away with the conclusion that, oh, they have products, so they can't be a pyramid. And the FTC and the companies that they've successfully prosecuted over the years would disagree with that. So you can have products with an illegal pyramid. In fact, most pyramids, illegal pyramids have products, and it's really the lack of retail sales. The tool scam that we talked about earlier, I believe, is RICO fraud. It's at least business fraud. You can't hide a major aspect of the business model and not be committing fraud, you know, when you're trying to entice people, trying to recruit people. The regulators have not acted on either one of those, really. They go after a company here and there every year or two. They might pick one off, but there's over 600 in this country and probably thousands around the world. And so it's really just trying to empty the ocean with a teaspoon, in my opinion, as far as what the particularly the FTC, who has the lead in these kinds of scams, they're just not doing their job across the industry. So I'll stop my rant right there because we have a great guest tonight. I found Lexi on Reddit. There's an anti-MLM subreddit, and I came across her story, which was really very common. This is a very common method of approach, although it's a little bit different. And I want to introduce her and start telling her story, and then we can get into, how common this is and some of the differences between, you know, what we've heard in the past and what she's going to be telling us. So, Lexi, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you and glad to have you tell your story. So if you can tell us just a little bit about yourself, you know, as much as you're comfortable. You know, where are you at? You know, what are you doing? What were you doing when you were contacted? Just give people kind of a sense of who you are, and then we can talk about, you know, how you were approached by the Amway distributor, or they call them IBOs now, independent business owners. But they're still just a, you know, independent contractor, just like they always were in the eyes of the IRS. But yeah, again, welcome to the show, and go ahead and tell us a little bit about you, and then we'll get into what's going on when you were approached by Amway. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I live in Washington State. I'm a single mom, and I have a degree in animal sciences with a joint degree in equine sciences and business management. I got my degree at Colorado State University. I have intentions of opening my own veterinary clinic and animal rescue down the road, where I'll be outsourced from different people, officers, humane resource officers, which is basically just animal control. They'll contact me, and I'll do the rehabilitation and everything for those animals. So what happened was I was at home. I had ordered DoorDash one night, and I also DoorDash in my free time. She had dropped off the order, this gal that I had spoken to, and I apologized for the wait, you know, because the restaurant had taken a while. And I was like, hey, I understand. I get it. I get frustrated when the DoorDashes take a while for me as well, you know. And we had started small talking, and I explained to her that I was from a small town in Washington called Camas, and she told me that she was from the same town. She grew up there. We grew up going to the same churches, and she's 10 years older than me. So we hadn't come across each other in passing or anything like that, but we made that connection right off the bat. I had explained the high school that I had went to, and I went to the alternative school in town. It had a really bad reputation, you know, everybody in the school were the bad kids. So I kind of went on to explain to her because I saw the look of judgment I'd gotten from her, and I felt the need to defend myself. I was like, yeah, I mean, I went to college my sophomore year. I got my degree. I knocked it out real quick, you know, started my own business. She started to walk away. And then she turned around and she was like, well, hey, my husband and I run a startup business. Are you just door dashing or are you interested in doing anything else? I was like, yeah, you know, like I'll give you my number. We can chat, do whatever, you know. You can tell me more about what you and your husband do. Because I was under the impression that she was, you know, thinking about my business perspectives and what I wanted to do, and they were going to potentially invest in that. You know, I saw it as an opportunity. I texted her that night. We made a meeting for the following week at a Panera, which I found out is a really common location, Panera and different various cafes and coffee shops. We went and met. We chit-chatted. She said she really liked my drive. And that, I mean, I don't know the exact words she used. She complimented me a few times. She said she wanted to get to know me. They don't just work with anybody. She wanted to make sure the person that they were working with was the right person. And again, she didn't tell me what they did. She just said that they had a startup business. Yeah, she just spent that meeting trying to get to know me. She didn't go into any detail about what they do, nothing like that. We made another
meeting. Yeah, if I could interrupt there, first of all, thanks for, you know, doing what you do with the animals. That's something that most people really can't do, you know, for
yeah,
a variety of reasons. But that's impressive that, you know, that you have the degree and all of that. And so, you know, obviously you're no dummy. Because that's hard. In fact, I've heard that it's harder to get into veterinary school than it is to get into medical school. You got to be really bright. You got to be really on your game. So that's good for you. That's great for you, actually.
Thank you.
So what you're telling us here is interesting because, and we were talking for a couple minutes before the show started. We had a guest on a couple months ago, maybe 3 or 4 months ago now, Peter, whose dad is in Amway. He's still in Amway. He's been in Amway for over 20 years. And when he first got started, he was a cab driver. And just like this DoorDash person, you know, that's how they do their contacting. And so anytime anybody would get in the cab, you know, for a ride, he would tell them about Amway and try to recruit them. And our guest said he's recruited quite a few people over the years, but they all drop out. And so, you know, he has, after 20 years of effort, nothing, essentially. You know, he has nothing to show for. He has no downline. He has a lot of, you know, lost money, obviously, between paying for the overpriced mm-hmm. products, contributing to the tool scam. You know, he's obviously mm-hmm. lost money over the years. And so this is kind of a new twist on that story because, you know, when you're a DoorDash person, you're meeting new people all the time. It's kind of a informal thing, right? It's kind of a, you know, kind of a friendly thing, and you want to stay on good terms with your DoorDash delivery person because they might deliver to you again. And, you know, it's not something you want to get on someone's bad side about. And so you're kind of, you know, I think you're probably a nice person all the time, but you're on your best behavior, right? When you're dealing, whether it's your taxi cab driver or your DoorDash person, you know, you're just mm-hmm. trying to be friendly and get along and so forth. So it's an interesting sort of difference and yet a similarity between those stories that we've heard, you know, where the person that's approaching you is kind of putting you in a disadvantageous position, in my opinion. They're taking advantage of that friendliness and that openness and that, you know, desire to just get along for the exchange of, you know, whether it's a taxi ride or a meal. And so it's just really interesting how that all occurred. So I guess you said you had one meeting at Panera and they didn't really say much. And then you were about to get into the second meeting before I interrupted. So go right ahead.
Yeah. I mean, one thing along with what you just said, I mean, I feel like she also took advantage of the fact that I mentioned I was a single mom. And the fact that I'm younger too. I finished college early. I'm only 22. After I posted on that Reddit page, posted my story, reading some of the comments and experiences of other people, I found out that, I mean, more recently now probably than in the past when you were working with Amway, they are really honing in on younger people, people fresh out of high school too, and single parents, which I think is really awful, but of course they aren't really thinking about it like that. But that second meeting went a lot like the first one. She had me at the end of our first meeting. She gave me a worksheet to fill out, with a long list of questions about hows and whys when it comes to like making money, what I want to do, what could I do if I had all the money in the world, who would I help, that kind of thing, which I'm assuming is just a script that everybody has to give out to everyone. I did that worksheet. I filled it out. I brought it with me to my second meeting, and we talked a lot about that, went over my answers, things like that. I asked her a couple times specifically what she and her husband do, and she avoided the question a lot. She talked a lot about her mentor, which is also a super common thing with Amway, apparently. She told me that she and her husband met him and his wife in their 20s, and they were like both financial, entrepreneurial, and like relationship mentors. And she went on to tell me that that's what she did. Like all she said was that she wanted to mentor somebody. She mentors people to take advantage of the free enterprise. And that was, again, second meeting, all she told me they did. So I'm at this point kind of getting cautious because I don't want to jump into something that I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, but especially when they don't answer your questions, right? That's
right,
probably where you start thinking, you know, you're not really answering my question here. And that worksheet you mentioned, Peter, I think that's the first time I've heard about the worksheet. Now, typically they'll do the worksheet, but it's all verbal, right? It's not written down. So it's interesting now that they're not just talking about these things, but actually writing them down. And what they're looking for, as you now know, is, you know, they're looking for where you have a certain interest so they can kind of glom onto that and make it sound like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we have, you know, we have an answer for that. In fact, I remember when I attended my follow-up with my Upline Platinum, you know, I said, hey, Jim, I think his name is Jim LaRose. He's a doctor. He's a medical doctor. I think he's still in practice. He's getting up there now. But I said, Jim, you know, I really, you know, I'm not a real outgoing person, and I'm a little concerned about that. And he said, well, we have a program for that. You know, so they'll answer any concern with a response that makes it sound like, don't worry about it. You know, we can handle whatever you have, you know, your situation. It's not a big deal. And so that worksheet is just really super documenting all of that versus having to do it verbally and remember what was said. So it's interesting that they did that. And Peter, if you're there, do you have any comments or questions as we go along here? Peter may not be right here right now. So Lexi, just go ahead with your story and we'll get Peter in here in a minute or two.
Okay. That raised red flags for me, the not answering questions, but I was a little bit blindsided. I've been struggling quite a bit these past couple years since COVID hit. And I was just really eager, really excited, really hopeful, thinking that something good was going to come out of this. And that, I'm sitting here thinking, startup business, investors, they want to invest in me, invest in my business, in my time. And that was another thing she had asked me at the end of the second meeting, going into our third meeting, was next time we're going to sit down and we're going to write out a business plan. She told me that we were going to write out a business plan for what I want to do. Aside from that, there were also a lot of things that I noticed that I think, other people who are potentially being recruited by these people need to look out for. She kept complimenting me, high praise for everything. Just words like, oh, you're very resilient, you're very determined, you're very driven. Also trying to relate to me. A lot of things, like she'd ask me questions about my personal life, my personality, things that I do, things that are important to me and close to my heart. And she would be like, oh, I'm like that too. Oh, I'm the same way, trying to get me to kind of connect with her, or trying to connect with me on a level that I would trust her more, I suppose.
Right.
And then business plan, third meeting, we met up again. We had talked about what I wanted to do. I went into detail about the vet clinic that I want to open and my whole plan for that. And then she started talking a little bit about, how there are four different types of people in the world who make money, two different sides, the workers and then the business owners and self-employed and things like that. And then started talking about a storefront. And then she started talking about the worldwide group. And just kind of, it seemed really random to me. Like a switch flipped. She went from focusing on me and what I wanted to do to talking about a store that she and her husband ran that they want other people to run. And that was when I was kind of like, yeah, no, bigger red flag, big blinking red sign. I just straight up asked her, I was like, okay, so what is it exactly that you want me to do? What are we here for? What is this? And that was when she kind of told me, oh, well, what she specifically said was, we work with the worldwide group to help mentor people to take advantage of the free enterprises. And we run online stores that people can buy things from. And our supplier is Amway. She told me a little bit about how I can look them up, do some research. And I explained to her, I was like, I'm a very research-driven person. I will research this to the ends of the earth. That was when she invited me to come sit in on a business meeting. She said she thought it would be great if I came and was a little fly on the wall on a meeting for her and her mentor at a Hilton in downtown Vancouver. Said it was like he was a big shot speaker that was coming. It was a once in a lifetime opportunity. He only comes around once every few years to talk, and that I really needed to be there because it was like super elite business people that were there.
Do you recall the name of that person?
Actually, I do not. That actually would have been tonight in about an hour. That meeting we had was last week on a Monday or a Tuesday, I believe. And I was excited. I was like, yeah, I mean, that sounds like a good idea. What you're saying is all fishy, but maybe if I go and see what this is all about, it might turn out different. That was when I went home, hopped on Reddit, found that MLM page, and made my post, did my research. And I was like, yeah, no. I had decided at that point, I was like, should I, just stop talking to her altogether, or should I let her know, what she's trying to get at here. I listened to a lot of the advice on Reddit. A lot of people were telling me if you tell her, she will just continue to recruit you. She'll get mean. Her demeanor will change. And I was like, I'm not going to deal with that. So I kind of just ghosted her, didn't text back. She's been calling me and texting me nonstop for a week now.
And did you block her or you just not answer the calls?
I just haven't answered any of the calls.
Yeah,
I should probably block her.
Well, it would be interesting. since you have not blocked her, it would be interesting how many times and how long she keeps trying to call you. That would be an interesting experiment. You know, don't answer the phone, just, you know, don't answer and just see how long she keeps trying to contact you. That would be an interesting experiment. Because I recommend that people don't respond either. You know, either don't answer or block them. Because now that you know how it works, you know, there's no way she's going to talk you into it at this point. So,
right. And that's, she's probably going to keep trying.
Yeah. Cause you know, my upline was different, and I was in a different group. I was under a guy by the name of Dexter Yeager, who was kind of the first guy to start the tool scam. And then there was these different breakaway groups over the years. And one of them was the one that, you were being contacted by. It was run by a guy by the name of Ron Puryear. He died a few years ago. But the group, the Worldwide Dream Builders or Worldwide something, whatever they call themselves these days, they've changed a couple times, you know, minor changes to the name to protect the innocent, I guess. but you know, he came from that lineage, that sort of training. But my upline was a lot more direct. You know, it wasn't this, what I call slow dance, there's multiple meetings. It was, you're contacted, you're shown the marketing plan, yes or no. And if the answer is no, then you move on to the next person. You don't even try to talk them out of it and talk them back in. You just forget about them and move on to somebody else. So it's, I think it's a combination of a different technique that's being taught, and probably it's kind of a sign of desperation, to be honest with you. You know, I kind of believe my upline. There's, you know, 300 million people in the United States, and who cares if somebody says no? You know, you just move on to the next person, and rather than going back over and over again. Now, we were taught, because I started in 1993, and in 1999, Amway changed the name to Quickstar, Quixtar, in North America only. And then they changed back to Amway around 2007 to 2009. They kind of had a two-year return to the Amway name. But I remember when Quickstar started, they said, now go contact everyone you've contacted before, because, you know, this is a whole brand new deal. And the only thing that really changed was the name and the fact that it was more online than it was before. But other than that, it was the same upline, the same compensation plan, really the same products, maybe with some extra partner stores, as they call them, you know, other companies that have name recognition like Disney and AT&T and those kinds of companies that kind of lend credibility to the whole thing. Did they mention any outside companies to you besides Amway when they were talking to you during all these meetings?
No.
Okay, that's interesting, too, that they left that out, because they often mention those other companies just to make it sound more credible, right? More like it's a real business.
Right.
And, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
The way she had described it to me was that, like, she wasn't even associated with Amway. The way she was trying to lure me in the last time we talked, what she said was that she works with the Worldwide Group. And Amway is just a distributor. Amway doesn't receive any money, you know, like, we don't work with them directly. They just distribute the product. That's it. She didn't really talk that much about it. She said, I'm pretty sure she even said not to look them up. She was trying to get me to do research on the Worldwide Group specifically. But, you know, I took notes. I take notes. I'm a big note taker. And I referenced back to both of the businesses, and I did my research. And the funny thing is, when you look up Amway, the first, like, two pages of Google results are all from Amway or Amway-supported websites. In favor of them, make them look good. It's there were a lot of things like, is Amway a pyramid scheme? No, it's not. Here's why. And that was kind of when I turned to Reddit, because I was like, this doesn't seem right. This seems really fishy. And I know a lot of people on Reddit are research sleuths. And I kind of got the answers that I was looking for, thankfully.
yeah, it's good that the internet's out there, and it's good that Reddit's out there too, in particular, because there are a lot of people that contribute. I think there's over 700,000 members on that subreddit, although at any given time there's anywhere, you know, between the high hundreds and low, like 1,000 to 1,500 people that are actually active at any given time. So it's not like there's always 700,000 people on there. And I would suspect of the 1,000 that are normally on there, most of them are probably the same people. You know, that's just how social media works. You know, like if you're on YouTube and you have, you know, 500,000 quote-unquote followers, but then you put a story out there, you know, you do a new video, and maybe you get 10,000 views. Well, obviously, most of those people aren't really following you from the standpoint of, you know, actively engaged in watching your new videos. They just happen to follow you, and then they moved on to something else, and they never came back. So it's one of those things, you know, where they kind of overemphasize what their real success is, put it that way. So, hey, Peter, are you there? Did you have any comments or questions
I'm
for
here.
Lefty?
I'm here. I've been here the whole time. I just was a little bit interrupted, so I kind of muted myself out. So this is all really new, right, Lexi? This is, like, just happening right now, more or less. We're not talking about something that happened in 2005. So in reference to this, let me see if I can kind of describe what I have recognized as a pattern by listening to these stories, and in addition to the stuff that I experienced as well. It looks like they find you as being, you know, you're a sharp person. So you're a sharp person. They kind of hone in on that. They deceive. I'm going to use the word deceive, however they want to manage that word or kind of try to cover up that word. But they basically deceive you into thinking that they can do something for you. So, like, they have something special. There's a word called posture, where they are super important people. They allude, like, hint that they can do something for you. So you're interested, like, you know, are these people investors? Are these people real business mentors? Is there something that maybe I might be able to work with and be able to advance my career, not necessarily their career? And they kind of play you for a little bit like that. And then it gets kind of wonky with the worksheet and the book. And it's kind of like, what is this, a test? Like, I'm qualifying for something, you know, and okay, I'll see. And maybe there's something, you know, then they say, you know, we just don't work with everybody. So there's the posture, the push and the pull and the push and the pull and the push and the pull. Still the deception, the huge deception. And then eventually they have to come clean and they have to tell you it's Amway or disguise it as Amway one way or another. But it is really a deception level of attraction. So if that's the case, and that's the way I've experienced all of these types of issues and kind of try to describe it that way, do you think, like, where do you think your local sponsor was in the scheme? Were they newbies that were just kind of regurgitating poorly this, or were they well-refined scammers, you know, really deceptive people?
Well, it's now knowing what it was, it felt to me like she was very new, very unorganized. But what she had told me when I asked how long she'd been working for them at the end, after she said Worldwide Group and Amway, I asked how long she'd been doing this, because I kind of had gotten that hint in my mind that it was an MLM scam. I was like, okay, so how long have you been doing this? How long has this been going on? She told me 20 years. Now, if that's true or if that's just part of the script she was given, I don't know. It did not feel like this is something she's been doing for 20 years, though, at all. Because, like I said, she was very unorganized. She was very polite. She was very sweet. I did really like her, and that was part of why I felt so bad just not speaking to her anymore, because I'm not good at that. I'm not good at just not talking to people. I build relationships, and I felt bad, you know, but I have to continue to remind myself it's her job, it's what she's doing. That probably isn't even her real personality. It's probably just a persona she's putting on for me, you know.
Right. So she's more or less like a newbie who's trying to follow the proven Amway system mm-hmm. with this worldwide group. And she's not doing a very good job at it. And, you know, if you're kind of like asking her some questions that are a little bit hard-hitting, she's probably missing some cylinders every once in a while. So when you ask her how long is she doing it, she's like, oh, well, we've been doing this for 20 years, like, and she can't even really tell the truth, but you can't really say that she was lying. She's just bad at following some kind of a script. But in your heart of hearts, do you think that she was like a well-refined scammer with this deception, or do you think she was just trying, like you were maybe number 10 of the people that she were trying, and maybe after 100 people she'd be much better at this? You know, were you new on the totem pole of her experiences, or do you think she's been doing this for years?
I believe I was probably one of her first few, at least within the top 20, definitely.
Got it. So, you know, so Scott, you know, I don't know if the words that they use or ever used was words like posture, but I remember when I was recruiting people, Lexi, my background was in direct sales, and we were recruiting people for a company called Electrolux, the vacuum cleaner company. So if we put, you know, hey, Electrolux now hiring, nobody would show up for the interview. So we used to use words like, you know, we're a division of Sara Lee, which was completely true. Sara Lee didn't want us to use that, but it was one of the ways we can get people in the door. So once they showed up for the interview, then we were able to tell them our story, and they knew it was Electrolux. It wasn't like we hid it. I mean, there were vacuum cleaners probably in the offices. But we had to somehow, I'm going to use the word deceive, but for their purposes, because there were a lot of people that really didn't know about the opportunity. We wanted them to learn about the opportunity, then they could make the decision, and if they didn't want to make the decision because it was a vacuum cleaner company, that was fine. That was our inability to share with them the story, or their inability to want to do that because of maybe whatever reasons they might have. But there was a slight level of deception in the recruiting process because. And the because was, well, if we put Electrolux in the headline of the classified ad that we were running, nobody would show up. So, and we had a real opportunity. I was one of those people that took advantage of those real opportunity, and I became an area VP. But I knew at the interview that it was Electrolux. You know, after the first interview, I wasn't strung along. The guy didn't sit there and hand me a book and a questionnaire and talk to me about my goals and my dreams and deceive me like he was going to be able to do something special for me. So I was someone who kind of understood the word deception for their own benefit as opposed to deception for this posturing, like weird, twisted, psychotic, if you will, you know, warped way that the worldwide group and people like Amway, people that I've observed, have a tendency of doing that. So, Scott, I don't know if you want to comment on anything that I just mentioned, or Lexi, go ahead, you first.
Yeah, go ahead, Lexi.
It feels dirty, you know, the way that they do it, the way that I was approached. It feels wrong. I took multiple days out of my life, out of my time, found and paid babysitters, you know, to be able to meet with her and think that I was getting an actual business deal out of this or something. I mean, even if she was just mentoring entrepreneurs, like she also said that she did, it's not right. It's not right to be doing that to people at all, you know? And I mean, I get that at some point someone did the same thing to her. You know, she probably came in thinking she was going to make a bunch of money, and she's probably not thinking about how wrong it is. But, I mean, I'm glad that you guys have your show, and I'm glad that you guys talk to people and kind of get their stories out there so that other people can be brought aware to the scams that other people are running. You know, it's a good thing that people are being able to see what's going on.
So the the thing that I just want to emphasize is we've been doing this radio show for a long time, and I was hired and fired. I use the word hired and fired. I hired and fired myself 3 times with Amway. This isn't something that just happened when I was in New York or happened when I was in Chicago 40 years ago. And it wasn't the stuff that happened in Texas 20 years ago with Scott. We're talking about this is systematic. And you know how sometimes when people are talking about racism, they say this is, you know, systematically racist. This is systematically taught throughout the whole entire country, probably even the whole entire world, and it's been for decades. And it's happened decades ago. It's happened this month as you're explaining this, and it still happens. It's their method of operation. And, Scott, I'll let you comment on that.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of, you know, add to what both of you have been saying, because when we started in 1993, there was no Internet, which for Lexi, it probably blows her mind. She's 22 and she says, what, you know, but there was no Internet. So there was no place you could go like we go now to look things up. And even when the Internet did appear, you know, very late 1994, really 1995, there wasn't much content. You know, all the stuff you see on the Internet now was put there by somebody. And there was really very little content back until I would say around 2000, somewhere in there. And we had to wait until 2010 to 2015 for social media to really get going. So, you know, the Internet today is not what it was back then. But even back then, when there was no Internet, you know, obviously they didn't tell us, now don't go on the Internet, because it hadn't really been invented yet. I mean, it was in universities and military, but nobody, civilian, knew about it until around 1995. But they would say, now, this business is so different than what you thought it was, and that's why we didn't use the Amway name up front. You know, we waited until the end of the presentation, because most people think it's door-to-door soap selling, and we've gone so far beyond that. Just like Electrolux, Peter, you know, we didn't want you to get the wrong impression of how Amway worked, you know, by mentioning the name right away, and then you would have this impression of, you know, pulling your little red wagon down the street selling soap door to door, because that's not what we are. But what Amway still is and has always been, as far as I know, most of the consumption is being done by the distributors, not by selling to customers. And I think that's the way it's always been. It certainly was, you know, going back all the way into the 1970s at the very least, until today. And so, you know, all these things that we're talking about, even though there's been little changes and tweaks and so forth, it's really essentially the same thing. You know, we have more technology. We now learned about this worksheet versus talking about your dreams and goals and so forth. But other than that, it's the same thing. You know, it's really interesting how little has changed over the years, over the decades, you know, not just years, decades. So, Lexi, I'll let you comment on that.
I mean, it seems to me through my experience and through other people's experiences that I've seen and heard so far that it's consistent because they've really perfected it, you know. They've had all this time to kind of make their scripts, make their book of tools that they use. You know, I don't think I mentioned she specifically named a couple authors and a couple, like, self-help entrepreneur books to read, and I've heard a lot of people were given the same exact books, the same exact authors, and that was another thing that really tipped me off to what she was getting at. And it's because they perfected it. They know what they're doing, and they know how to draw people in.
Yeah, did she mention Robert Kiyosaki to you?
Is that the one, the real estate agent from Hawaii who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
And then John Maxwell as well.
Yeah, John Maxwell works a lot with that particular group, that Worldwide Dream Builders or Worldwide Group, whatever it is. I don't think he works too much with other Amway groups, but he's very tied into the group that you were approached by. And he does a lot of non-MLM stuff too. You know, I wish he would sort of figure it out and stop doing it, because he's leaving a lot of people down a primrose path. And I don't know what he knows, right? We don't know. All we know for sure is he's getting paid a lot of money to come in and do his little speeches and so forth. You know, his books are being purchased, so he's making money. He's happy from the money standpoint. I don't know if he knows that most people in Amway lose money. They lose time. They lose relationships. You know, it's lose, lose, lose for just that few people at the top. Or if you can work your way to the top, which is not easy, they're the ones that make the money. And most of the money doesn't even come from Amway. It comes from the toll scam. So, you know, it's so wrong. And even if the money did come from Amway, if it doesn't come from customer sales along with the internal consumption, then it's an illegal pyramid. So, I mean, there's so many different facets on, you know, why this is not a good thing. But, yeah, like you were told, I was told, now don't go talk to your parents or your neighbors or your relatives or your friends at work, because they have this old idea of door-to-door soap sales, and that's not it. So don't do that. Don't ask them for their opinion, because their opinion doesn't count. It's not right. Now, were you told not to research online, or was there any kind of indication of, you know, don't do that, or any kind of guidance that was given to you?
No, so it was actually the opposite. She, during our last meeting, she had told me to go online and do research on the company to find out more, which I thought was interesting. Part of me was like, is that her trying to tip me off? Is she trying to tell me, like, hey, I'm doing this because I have to? But
maybe she was trying to give a false impression. Like, she would assume that if she gave go ahead to do research, then you would say, well, it must be good because she's open to me doing this, so I won't even bother doing it, you know, which fortunately you did it anyway. I'm just wondering if that was kind of a double, you know, sort of a double psychology move. Was this woman married, or you said she was like 30-something years old?
She said she was married. She has a couple kiddos, adult kiddos around my age. I actually knew one of them because when she said we grew up in the same hometown, she wasn't lying. Like, she wasn't trying to connect with me. We really did. I went to church when I was younger with her daughter. We didn't really know each other, but I knew the faith. I don't know. I'm still really conflicted because she was so sweet. And again, I don't know if that was just part of her job, her persona, but she even, she told me where her daughter lived, and she texted me a couple days ago and asked if I needed a certain box of diapers for my daughter from her, someone she knew. And, I don't know. I don't know what all of what she said was true or false.
So she's probably in her 40s then?
She told me she was 38.
38, okay. So she must have got started. If she was telling the truth, she must have got started at 18. So it's interesting. You know, she's been in for 20 years, she said. That's the only way that would make sense, right, if she got started at 18 years old, if she's 38 now.
And she had told me she got married and had her first kid at 16, you know. So, I mean, that would make sense if she started doing this. But it didn't seem like she'd been really doing this for 20 years. She was – I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, another interesting aspect of this to me, and like you mentioned earlier, you know, they're going after younger and younger people. And Amway used to be known as kind of the married couple MLM. And they would go after couples more than single people. But I think there's been so many more single people, you know, people are waiting longer to get married or not get married at all, that they have to go after, you know, the younger single people now. But generally, it's the husband that leads the whole process of the business. The wife is there to support him and, you know, to help the new distributor with their, you know, ordering products and things like that. But the husband usually is the lead person. And I guess, did you meet him at some point?
No, I did not.
Interesting. So I kind of wonder if she is even married. Because that's typically the way that Amway does it. And I'm not saying you know, maybe this was an exception. They decided, hey, you go ahead and take the lead because you contacted her and so on and so forth. And maybe if you had gone to another meeting or two, you would have met him. I just don't know either as far as all of that. I just know that in general, even if the couple is approaching a single woman like yourself, that the husband would still be very present and pretty much leading the business aspect versus the wife. So, again, maybe it's mm-hmm. a difference in policy or just an exception. I don't know. But it's interesting, mm-hmm. I guess.
She made it very much seem like it was just the one-on-one.
I would probably say if we could say, for instance, if we were interviewing her, meaning your potential upline, we would probably ask her, how did you come in? And she would probably tell a very similar story. So she's probably duplicating the process that she's been going through herself and how she got recruited. So she's probably mm-hmm. just duplicating what happened with her. They all use these props for credibility, you know, the mentor, the book by Robert Kiyosaki, you know, the other guy who's the trainer, the illusion of that they run this professional organization and they train business entrepreneurs, and that Amway is just the company that services them. And it's all this big illusion of, I don't want to say it's almost like a cult hypnosis, but everybody's friggin' hypnotized. Nobody's making any money except for the people on the top. Everybody's basically yep. saying the same thing. And if you could somehow snap your finger, you know, and wake these people up, they would probably say, oh, my God, you know, I can't believe I was doing that. And this woman sounds like she's a nice person, and she's just duplicating what has been happening with her, and I think she's hypnotized. You know, when they talk about now, you know, when with this the vaccines and mass, what do they call it, mass psychosis or mass formation psychosis or whatever it might be, and where basically people are hypnotized. Amway's been doing that as a cult for a super duper super duper long time. And like Scott, mm-hmm. you were there for a dozen years. You were kind of hypnotized by the Amway cult and you believed it. And then all of a sudden something kind of snapped you out and said, wait a minute, you guys are making all this money on this stuff, these tools. And then once you saw it, then you were out of the hypnotism. But the reality is that Amway has been doing this successfully or not for a long period of time. And I really think if you were to look at her, and you would probably have a conversation where you could wake her up, like if you could do some kind of a seance, if you will. I know that's the wrong term, but if you could kind of wake her up, she would probably snap out of it and thank you and say, what the hell was I doing? You know, what the heck? You know, this is wrong. So anyway, so back to you, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, I tend not to go towards the cult aspect just because cults are legal, for one thing. You know, the government's never gone after a cult for being a cult. Now, they have gone after cults for doing other illegal activities. But, you know, the freedom of religion and association and speech and all those things in the First Amendment really prevents the government from going after cults. And, you know, where do you draw the line? You know, if you're, let's say, a member of a church, well, some people consider all churches to be cults. Or if you're a fan of a certain sports team and you get dressed up and so forth, well, is that cultish behavior? You know, where do you stop is kind of the question. And when there's actual illegal activity going on, and that, I prefer not to use the cult aspect. I prefer to use information being withheld, which obviously cults do that as well, right? They withhold information. But in this case, it's really in a business environment, and I tend to go towards the fraudulent aspect. And I don't deny the cultish type of activities and behaviors. I'm just saying, hey, this is a business, and, you know, you're not telling the whole story. That's fraud. You know, that's breaking the law, and that's something that the government should be going after. So for those reasons, I tend to back off the cult aspect, you know, as far as emphasizing it as the main issue, without denying that it is very cultish behavior. There's no doubt that they're withholding information, they're lying through their teeth, just like real cults do. But it's just a whole different environment. you know, as far as when you're doing what I thought was a legitimate business, and turns out it was just a massive information control, and I think the internet has really helped out. You know, I know it helped Lexi, you know, being able to do that research and, you know, find out more things than what her, just her sponsor was trying to tell her. And just so you know, Lexi, the way I snapped out of my brainwashing, whatever you want to call it, was when my upline diamond, a guy by the name of Bruce Anderson, got kicked out. And it's kind of a long story, but basically he started a website and a blog and a, you know, question and answer type thing. And I found out that he made at least twice as much from the tools as he did from Amway. And this was his statement, you know, from him personally. And that's when I said, mm-hmm. Hey, I'm out of here. You know, I'm gone, because you guys never even hinted that most of the money is being made from the tools. That's the first I ever heard of it over a dozen-year period. And when I heard that, I was gone, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't quit Amway, but I quit buying tools. I thought I could develop a legitimate Amway business. Turns out I could not, because the company refused to cooperate. And I believe the company, Amway Corporate, refused to cooperate because they didn't want to see me doing Amway the correct way, because that would reflect badly on pretty much everybody else. So it was one of those things that I learned over time. You know, I first thought Amway was kind of being held hostage because there's rumors back in the actually one of the audios on my YouTube page is a speech by Rich DeVos, who's one of the two co-founders. He passed away a few years ago, but he made a recording in 1983 saying, hey, we're aware you guys are making all this money on tools, knock it off, or else. Well, the or else never happened. And so Amway was fully aware of this, at least as far back as 1983, probably several years earlier than that, because, you know, they wouldn't find out about something and then just make a recording and put it out to the distributors. They would have these discussions with the higher level distributors first. And so the rumors were that when Rich DeVos laid down the law, so to speak, at that time most of the volume was in the United States. Now most of it's overseas. But he and a couple of the other big wigs, including Ron Perrier, who was, like I mentioned earlier, over the Worldwide Dream Builders group at that time, and a couple other guys. There's a guy by the name of Bill Briz, who also passed away a few years ago, and one or two other people. The rumor is that they either actually boycotted Amway products for 3 months, or threatened to go to a different MLM. But whatever the case was, even if none of those stories is accurate, Amway didn't do anything. So, you know, to this day, they're making most of their money from the tools. And so, you know, for whatever reason, Amway backed down. I think I know the reason, that their business would fall apart, you know, without these higher level mucky mucks lying to people. And so it's all part of the same cabal, as it were. You know, they're definitely together on this. It's obvious. So I'm just glad that the internet was available to you and you didn't lose more of your time and money and friendships and relationships with other people. That's, you know, I'm just so happy that, you know, you woke up a dozen years earlier than I did. So
definitely.
So that's my two cents. I'll let you add to that, Lexi.
I mean, I'm curious how far it would have gone, you know, had I not noticed. But like I said, she invited me to two different business meetings. One is supposed to be tonight. The other one, she wanted me to sit in on a Skype. What's the new one that they use? Zoom. A Zoom meeting between her and who she claimed was her mentor. She said they were going to have a business meeting, and she wanted me to sit in, just muted and just listen, and that at our next sit-down meeting, we would talk about the exact numbers. She said she'd get in on numbers and the I mean, I've heard from a lot of people that that's where they really draw you in once you sit in on a quote-unquote business meeting, team meeting, that they can, like, even if you're hesitant, that's where they'll really convince you that it's a great idea, a great plan, a money-making thing. Yeah, I'm glad I woke up before I went to any of those.
Yeah, typically those presentations, those, you know, marketing plan presentations, if you will, most of the time, at least the first half of it, is what is referred to as dream building. And that's where they just paint this picture of, you know, I was poor and I worked really hard at Amway and now I'm rich and here's my mansion, here's my yacht, here's my jet, here's my luxury cars, here's my worldwide travel, you know, yada, 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 you know, with the intent of showing how great things are. And obviously, if they have those things, there's real money, right? You can't, well, some MLMs do kind of make it up. They, you know, rent luxury cars and they rent homes and stuff like that. I don't think much of that goes on in Amway, but it does happen in other MLMs for sure. You know, they give this false impression of their lifestyle. Amway doesn't have to do that because Amway has the tool scam, so they have an advantage. But yeah, that whole first half of the meeting about would be, you know, how fantastic their life is and, you know, how, you know, bad their life was before they were approached and so forth. And all they did was stick to it and, you know, work hard and hang in there. And it, you know, it came around and now look at me, right? And this could be you. All you have to do is do what I did and you can be where I am. That's kind of the message. And then particularly if they know that, you know, you're there and you're a prospect, they might even have been looking at your sheet and talk to you specifically about your goals and dreams, you know, and really drawing you in because it gets real personal then, right? It's something that you individually want. And, you know, it really does pull people in. You know, we were taught to find out as much as we could about people and then align with them, just like you were saying, you know, hey, there's a saying out there called feel, felt, no, wait, what is it now?
Feel, felt, found.
Feel, felt, found, yeah. I felt the same way, and I found out this, you know, it's one of those things where they align with you, and then they kind of disagree with you, so to speak, you know, because they thought, oh, yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but then I found this out, you know, and it really wasn't the way that we were thinking, you know, together. It was different.
Yeah.
And so that's another technique that is used quite a bit. You may have even experienced it. I know how you feel. I felt the same way. This is what I found out. You may have used that in some of your interactions.
Not that I recall, but I'm sure she did.
Yeah, yeah. That's just a real common thing, too. Yeah, this is a fascinating week here, Peter. Lexi, you're just doing a great job of describing your experience, which, like you said, was very recent. So this is hot off the press. Like some of our other recent guests, it was very recent experience. But we know this is exactly what's going on out there amongst other people. So
let's fill Lexi in on what probably would have happened next. So what would have happened next is you would have been convinced that you need tools to be able to effectively build your business. So you would need a website or an app, and you'd be spending anywhere from $50 to $150 or $200 a month on just the system. And then, of course, eventually you'd join Amway, and eventually you'd buy some products from Amway. But you basically you would be convinced to keep your full-time job because you would need your full-time job's income to be able to pay for the tools that you have to buy and use every single month. And you wouldn't know it, but, you know, then there'd be an event that they'd be asking you to go to, and you'd be wind up spending hundreds or thousands of dollars this year on the system and some on the products. And then eventually what would start to happen would be is you'd run out of money. So then you wouldn't sponsor anybody because it'd be hard to do the same thing. So, Scott, that's kind of like looking in her crystal ball if she's going to follow the typical projection that most people have. So it would not be what you're looking for as far as your goals and dreams and your business plan to be able to open up your animal situation. It would basically be a big money drain and a time drain. So, Scott, back to you.
You're right on, Peter. That's exactly the next steps. That would have been exactly in this big meeting with this big shot, you know, in that hotel, you know, would have been just a really big show, so to speak, because he would have gone on and on about his own lifestyle and all the things I was just mentioning. And it draws people in. You have to admit that, you know, it's something that looks impressive. Until you know the rest of the story, you know, I don't know if you remember Paul Harvey. He died a few years ago too. He was a radio guy that his whole shtick was, and the rest of the story. And by the way, Peter and I are not anti-MLM. What we're anti is this tool scam business, you know, lying about where most of your income comes from, and putting on airs as if it came from Amway and it doesn't. And also the lack of retail sales. There's been a couple companies recently. The most recent one that I'm aware of is a company called Advocare, and they started being investigated in 2017. Excuse me, 2017. The FTC started looking at them, and in 2019, they agreed to pay a $100 million fine. The owners of the company said they would never get involved in MLM for the rest of their lives. They also went after a couple of the high-level distributors, they went from MLM to direct sales. Now, they went from, in 2017 at the peak, it was $750 million annual revenue, and by 2020, it was down to about $50 million. So, from $750 to $50 just by changing it from MLM to direct sales. And so you can see where most of the products were, you know, being purchased by the distributors, not by customers. And so that's just typical. And that's why I'm frustrated with the FTC, because what they don't get, apparently, is that Advocare is just a typical MLM. And, you know, the lack of retail sales is so common. I don't know if you know the phrase, like shooting fish in a barrel, you know, in other words, easy targets, and they just haven't done it yet. So, you know, we don't know when they're going to, you know, start paying attention, but, you know, we're trying to get more emphasis on that because if MLMs just did it right, I think most of them would either go out of business completely or shift over to direct sales. And they wouldn't be an MLM anymore.
Right.
And so that's why we have the position we do. At least I have that position. Because actually there was a conference about a year ago. If you go to MLMconference.com, it was actually an anti-MLM conference, but it was called, and you can go to, you know, MLMconference.com. I think it was the very first session, and all these sessions are on their website. From 2021, one of the guests on that first session was a guy by the name of Phillips. I can't remember his first name, but he's one of the five FTC commissioners. And he said, we're not anti-MLM, you know. And so for some people who don't like MLMs, well, you're not going to find much support in the FTC because they've already publicly said they support MLMs. But they also have said, you know, by previous decisions against individual MLMs, you got to have retail sales. And in fact, the same commissioner, Commissioner Phillips, back in, I think it was October of 2020, made a public statement to the DSA. The DSA is the Direct Selling Association. They're not really Direct Selling Association. They're really MLM Association. But the MLMs like to mix those terms. But he made a speech. He said, look, we're going to start looking at the overhead costs, not just your guys' you know, claims of how much money you can make, but, you know, what is your overhead to produce a net profit versus, you know, gross profit with more overhead, and therefore you're actually losing money, which is what happens typically with any MLM, and particularly Amway because of the tool scam, all that money that, you know, Peter was referring to that you pay into the system all the time. And it's not just the tickets and the books and everything else. It's also, like Peter mentioned, all these conferences. You've got the travel, you've got the hotels, you've got the meals, you've got the babysitters, you know, all of those costs, even if it doesn't end up in the upline's pocket, it's coming out of your pocket. So it's still a loss from your perspective.
Right.
So anyway, that's kind of some other things that are going on right now as far as, you know, what you know, the basic question I have is, well, how come this hasn't been fixed yet?
Right.
And I've been wondering that since 2005 when I found out about the tool scam. You know, I made a mental note to myself. I said, you know, if this was going to be easy, someone would have already done it. And so I, you know, I made a commitment to myself starting in 2005. I'm going to keep going after this thing, you know, either until it gets fixed or I stop breathing. That's the option. So anyway. Did you have anything to add to that,
you
Lexi? Go ahead.
You're doing more than anybody else's, you know. So, I mean, kudos to you for that. And like I said, I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your guys' show and be able to share my story and help other people as well.
Yeah, that's just great that you, you know, were able and willing to do that because, you know, we've learned some new things here tonight as far as some of these techniques, even though, again, most of it is pretty much identical to the way it's been done in the past. There are some little differences, some, you know, some subtleties and so forth that, you know, it's good that people are aware of that, that it's not exactly like it was decades ago, but it is really similar. So, so Lexi, I always try to ask guests towards when we're getting wrapped up, was there anything you were thinking about before the show or during the show that we didn't talk about yet but you wanted to mention? Was there anything that we, you know, kind of missed in all this discussion?
I don't believe so. I believe I pretty much summed everything up. I think we had some good conversation here.
Yeah, and you did a great job, too, particularly for a 22-year-old. I'm totally impressed. You are mature beyond your years for sure.
Thank you.
yeah. It's just, you know, when you see young kids now, you know, they're just so, I don't know, irresponsible, lazy, whatever. And it's just good to know there's young people like you out there.
I get that 100%.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you mentioned the high school you went to, so. You must have been a fish out of water there.
Well, I mean, that was just the reputation the school got. I don't believe it was really a lot of the students that went there. I think a lot of who I am today, the maturity that I have, is because of the school I went to, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that. But I agree with you. A lot of people my age are very immature and very irresponsible and don't have any motivation to really do anything, and I had to grow up really fast, you know, when I was a teenager, and I think that's a big part of it. But I'm a very work-driven, motivation-driven person, goal-driven, that's the word I'm looking for. I'm a very goal-driven person, and I believe that has attributed a lot to who I am, you know.
Yeah, for sure. It's just encouraging to know those people. And I think the last 2 years of COVID have really hurt even worse, you know, because people were getting paid money to do nothing. And, you know, when you're really young, typically you don't have a lot of life costs, you know, monetary costs. And so you can kind of just slide for a couple of years and not really do much. And all that does is reinforces the, you know, the lack of motivation and activity and drive. And it's really unfortunate, I think, on that aspect of the COVID that, you know, it just kind of reinforced, oh, don't worry about it. You know, don't worry, the government will take care of you. And we know that's true only temporarily. You know, longer term, there's not enough money in the world. You know, people have to work. And it's good to see you and the way you're oriented and so forth. And Peter, I guess we can just kind of wrap it up here. I'll let you make any other comments or any questions and sign us off. But I just wanted to thank Lexi for coming on the podcast and sharing her story. And it's just been great to get to know you a little bit. And I'll try to keep in touch with you on Reddit. I'm just curious how long that woman's going to keep contacting you. So if you don't mind, just, you know, in a week or two or a month, whatever, you know, send me a message saying, hey, she's still at it, or no, she quit.
Yeah, likewise. I will keep you guys updated.
Thanks. Well, the interesting thing, Scott, you know, if she's 22 now, you know, she's facing things that we never faced when we were that age. So we've never been in a situation where the government was locked down, never been in a situation before where there was a pandemic, never been in a situation before, you know, we can probably carry on about a dozen different things that are challenges for people her age. And then it's a world that we never knew. And then there's so many people that are hungry. You know, you still want to work. You still want to make a career. You're in your 20s. This is the time to go out there and make things happen, set the course of your life. So it's a scary situation. When I say scary situation, there's so many unknowns that you really have to tread lightly and watch out, because you can't really afford to be scammed. And unfortunately, Amway, I'm sure, and this worldwide group has taken advantage of people that are looking. So between working from home and not being able to go outside and work, and now you have rising gas prices, and who knows what's going on with job security or not. Lexi, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but it's hard to be you at this age.
Yeah.
Because Scott and I never did it. Like, Scott, we didn't have these obstacles. All the lights were on green when we were in our 20s. You work your ass off, go, so you had plenty of opportunity to be able to do whatever you wanted to do. Nobody threw any of these obstacles in our way. If you worked hard, you're persistent, you did the right things long enough consistently, and you found the right opportunity, you could work your way up like I did in a direct sales company, or like Scott did with the military and other things like that. Today, you don't have the same opportunity that we did. So some might say it's better now, maybe, in certain aspects, but in other aspects, there have been so many obstacles thrown against you young people. And my hat's off to you, because, you know, somehow or another, you got to figure it out. So I'm glad you recognize that this worldwide group wasn't going to be something for you earlier on, because you can't afford to waste all this precious, especially if you're doing the things that you're doing. So hopefully. So Scott, I'll let you wrap it up and give out your website one more time, Scott. And Lexi, if you want to guest page for anything you might be working on a little bit later on with us, just let us know, and we'd love to have you come back, talk about whatever you want to talk about, whether it's the Soundway business or anything else you might be doing as a young entrepreneur. We're here to help. So back to you, Scott.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay,
you're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking one of the things I encourage people to do, one of them is not to get back to their sponsor or their, you know, the person that wants to sponsor or recruit them. But what I do encourage them to do is contact everybody you know, because if you don't do that, they might contact you, you know, for Amway or another MLM. And when they're in it, it's really hard to talk them out of it. It's almost impossible to talk them out of it. So if we want to use the current events of the day, you know, it's almost like inoculating somebody to just give them a really quick message that, hey, you know, I was approached by Amway, and you know, I think most, if not all, MLMs are scams, and just be really careful out there if it's an MLM. And do that to everybody you know. That way they won't contact you in the future, but then also encourage them to contact everybody they know, you know, kind of like Amway in reverse. Because when you're in Amway, you're told now contact everybody you know and try to get them in. Well, we're trying to do the same thing by educating people so they don't get in. And so when you talk to everybody you know, or send them an email or a text, or, you know, however you want to do that, social media, whatever, also encourage them to tell everybody they know, because, you know, they know a lot of people that you don't know. And if we can keep doing this with enough people, then eventually the whole thing will become such that, I won't say nobody gets in, but there won't be enough people getting in to keep it going, and it'll fall apart if we just educate people. So that's kind of my advice to you and anyone that is out there that's frustrated by, you know, gee, I really don't want to talk to the person that was trying to recruit me. And so what can I do that's productive? That's what you can do. So that would be my recommendation. And, yeah, like I mentioned earlier in the show, my three websites, my Facebook, the link for this podcast is on my Facebook page, and it's facebook.com/ScottTexJohnson, ScottTexJohnson, one word, with a Texas flag, if you're confused by multiple Scott Johnsons on Facebook. And again, I just wanted to thank Lexi for being on here. It was a great show. And, you know, thanks very much for keeping us up to date on all of the little changes that are going on. They're always tweaking. They're always refining, like you said, Lexi. They've been doing this for many decades, and they are always trying to find that one little adjustment to make it a little bit more effective. So it's good to know about these things. And I guess, Peter, I'll see you next week. And Lexi, let's stay in touch on Reddit and see where this goes with your recruiter. So we'll be back here next Saturday. Thanks.
Excellent information. Lexi, thanks for being here, and keep in touch. And like I said, if you need anything relative to anything helping you with whatever business or whatever venture direction you want, just pick up the phone, talk to Scott and us. We have lots of resources to be able to help. We'll catch you next time. Thanks, everyone. Bye for now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.